Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Three East Bay lawmakers have announced a bill that would increase taxes on California's most profitable companies to help fund schools and childcare. The bill aims to increase education funding by at least $2.5 billion a year by targeting large companies that have benefited from President Trump's tax overhaul, which reduced the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. In a novel attempt to address inequality in compensation practices, the bill would base the tax burden on the ratio of the CEO's salary to the median employee's salary. And joining us to talk about the bill is the primary author, State Senator Nancy Skinner. Thank you for joining us, Senator Skinner. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we should mention that this has been sponsored and essentially executed by you and Buffy Wicks and Rob Bonta. This is money that would go into the general fund, presumably, and I want to have you lay it out for us, but it would go to education and child care as well as social services, right?
Yes, because California's general fund, 50% of it does go to our K-12 schools and community colleges.
And the tax would be on the most profitable companies. We're talking about companies that are, well, generating about, what, 40, more than that, actually, right, at least about $10 million a year.
Yes, it would only affect companies across the nation, not just based in California. So companies that do business in California with profits of $10 million or above. That's about 2,000 corporations. And that's a very small percent, 0.2% of corporations. But they are the ones that pay the lion's share of taxes anywhere. And so it just makes sense to have this bill focused on them.
And it's also a bill that targets those who benefited the most by the Trump tax overhaul.
Absolutely. These are corporations that pocketed tens of billions of dollars from Trump's tax cut. And I think most of us, now that we're in tax season and we're filing, we're seeing that we didn't get much benefit. In fact, many of us are paying more. Meanwhile, these corporations, money they used to pay to the IRS is now in their pockets.
And the base tax on this is based, as I said in the introduction, on a ratio of CEO salary to salary of median employee, which in many ways, I think, well, let's talk about this. The intention of it, I think, is to reduce income inequality, is it not, and close the gap?
Absolutely. And that's really essential in California because, unfortunately, California has the income inequality between the super rich in California and regular people has risen faster than almost any other state. We face the fourth largest income inequality than in the U.S. And let's put that a little bit in perspective. Today, the average corporate CEO takes home about $19 million a year, whereas the typical worker makes $54,000. And if we look at that compared to the 1970s, in the 1970s, CEOs were paid only 30 times the average worker. It's grown by 9,000% since then.
And California is still about 41st in terms of per pupil spending. How would this incentivize more wages for employees, though? How does that figure into
the picture? Well, so back to your point, it's that 70s again. In the 70s, California was in the top five of states that funded its schools. New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, California, we were the best. Meanwhile, CEOs were making good wages, but modest comparatively to today. We had a thriving middle class. Then look what we have today. Today we have underfunded schools. We have little middle class, stagnant wages, and yet the super rich making more and more money. And we're trying to fix that. So how the bill would motivate better wages for regular workers is that it's a progressive tax structure. There's a base rate increase on these corporations, but then it further increases based on the gap between the CEO pay and the average worker pay. So if the corporation wants to pay its workers better, they'll pay less tax under my bill.
And this is a sustainable revenue source, as I understand it, correct?
Well, we often hear about this volatility of California's revenues, and there's concern that we may have shaky economy again. And when we have any kind of economic downturn, California's revenues drop a lot because we are dependent on personal income tax. What this bill does is allow us to capture a little more revenue from corporations. And oddly, the portion of tax revenue that California gets from corporations is the lowest point in 40 years. Again, that contrast to the 70s. In the 70s, we collected at least 15% of our general fund from corporate income tax. Now it's dropped to very little.
We're talking with Senator Nancy Skinner, one of those who has sponsored a bill, SB 37. And we'd like to hear your thoughts about it. The bill would tax the most profitable companies that do business in California to fund public education and incentivize more equitable corporate pay. What do you think about actually taking on corporate salaries and tax breaks by imposing a tax on companies to essentially help fund education? You can give us a call now and let us know your thoughts about this or any questions you might have for Senator Skinner. The number to call, toll-free, is 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786. And you can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email questions or comments to kqedforum@kqed.org. You know, a little pushback on this, Senator. It's coming largely from tax groups. John Kupal, for example, the Jarvis Taxpayers Association, says you're going to keep chief executives on a list of the most states to do business with, where it's been for, well, about 14 years now. In other words, a tax hike isn't good necessarily for business, and it's going to mean other states can compete more. And so the people who are concerned about this as a tax are seeing it.
Well, this is one of the most fair, progressive, and modest tax increases that one could argue for. First off, it impacts a very, very small subset of businesses, of corporations, and those are the largest and most profitable in the entire country, not just in California, but in the entire country. And when we look at most tax increases, they're to regular people. They affect, you know, whether it's personal income tax or sales tax, whatever it is, they impact each and every one of us. Whereas this tax, so targeted to just these 2,000 companies that are at whose profits are at all-time high, is very modest. And also, it allows the corporations to choose that if they would like to pay their employees better, they'll have to pay less of the tax. If they do nothing about the disparity between their top CEO pay and their employee pay, then SB 37 gets more out of them.
What do you say to the argument, though, that overall California, in terms of corporate tax revenue, has grown between 1960 and 2018? I was looking at some numbers. It's gone from $272 million to $12.2 billion, and there's an estimate from Governor Newsom's office of about 6.4% more in this coming year.
Well, with the, you know, now we're expecting if the IPOs are successful that there'll be some more revenue into the state, but that could be a blip. Look, the stock price of Lyft dropped after it was first high and then dropped. So yes, we may get a little money from this IPO boom right now, but will we have sustainable revenues? And to look at, to use a dollar number is not accurate. It's much better to look at as a portion of California's general fund revenue. And as a portion of general fund revenue, corporate income tax is at close to an all-time low. So it's very small percent. Yet the taxes from each of us as individuals, whether that comes from sales tax or a personal income tax, that is what primarily funds California.
And yet, according to the Tax Foundation, California has the second worst business tax climate in the country.
Well, this bill affects, as I mentioned, only 2,000 corporations across the entire nation, and these are the largest, most profitable corporations.
It's not going to drive them to do business elsewhere in other states that are.
Well, it's based on their business that they do in California. Why would you leave the market of the fifth largest economy in the world?
Let me just bring our listeners into this. But before I do, the fate of this bill, you're going to need a two-thirds majority to get it through, as is customary with any kind of tax bill. I know you don't want to necessarily see it on the ballot, but what are the chances of passing? And I'm particularly asking that question in light of recent tax legislation that hasn't gone through. Phil Ting, for example, and Kevin McCarthy failed to get something through recently, which I'm sure you're aware of. What are the chances of this getting through?
Well, two-thirds votes are difficult. And I think this is a very important bill to discuss at this point. We're in tax season. We have, as I mentioned, corporations right now with profits at an all-time high. We have this incredible income inequality in California, which the state is trying to make up for through social programs and such. And so when we look at that, and meanwhile, the Trump tax cut gave a massive windfall to corporations. So as we discuss how California will have sustainable revenues over time, this is a very important discussion to have. I hope that we will get the two-thirds vote. I will work on that. But if we don't, at least we have put into the discussion the, as California looks at, do we adjust personal income taxes? Do we pursue, you know, some other forms of revenue to get stability? That this is part of that conversation and an essential part.
And when the corporations fire back that they pay not only income tax, but property tax and tax that includes not only land and buildings, but also offices and computers.
Well, as we know, corporations under Prop 13 were hugely benefited from that property tax measure. And so far, they are the ones, if we look at Contra Costa County, for example, Contra Costa County, before Prop 13 passed, received about two-thirds of its property tax revenue from business industrial properties, commercial properties. Now it's the complete reverse. Two-thirds of their property tax revenue comes from residences. So corporations and commercial entities in California are not paying their fair share on property tax. Now, this bill does not touch that. There's a measure on the ballot in 2020 that affects that. This is a very modest bill that affects only the largest, most profitable corporations. And if all the corporations were to follow the pay better to their employees, we would only generate maybe $2.5 to $3 billion from this bill. But at least it would generate that from those who are most able to pay.
All right, we're spending this time again with California State Senator Nancy Skinner. She represents District 9, and we're talking about legislation that proposes an education tax targeting corporations and pay inequity. And let's go to your calls. Let's begin with a caller from Palo Alto. Kathy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'd like to ask these lawmakers what level of income inequality is acceptable. And who decides that? And also, don't these lawmakers care about job retention and job creation for workers of these corporations? Is it not good that we have corporations in California that are profitable and then may be able to offer jobs to workers who can then earn income?
Senator Skinner.
Absolutely. We want job retention, and we want corporations to be based in California. Unfortunately, we have some great corporations based in California. It's why we're the fifth largest economy in the world. And let's look at my bill, SB 37. It does not target California-based corporations. The focus is any and every corporation that does business in California. But again, it only taxes 0.2% of the corporations nationwide.
Let me thank Kathy for the call. We'll get more of your calls on. We'll go next to Oakland and welcome Jake. Jake, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to start by saying that I think this bill is a great idea and these types of progressive taxes are extremely necessary. My one concern with the bill is that with the growing workforce of independent contractors being utilized by the most profitable companies such as Uber and Lyft, is there a concern or are there any provisions in the bill to address the independent contractor marketplace? Because those are often the lowest paid workers of these extremely profitable tech companies. If they were, brought into the fold on this wealth disparity measure, it would help to, maybe correct some of the independent contractor issues and otherwise, who's going to be watching out for these independent contractors?
Now, thank you for that question, Jake. Senator Skinner.
Thank you. So the whole issue of whether someone should be an independent contractor or an employee has recently had a big court case in the Dynamex decision. And the legislature, through some separate legislation, is looking at how to respond to the court's action, where the court basically said, hey, many of you companies really are inaccurately classifying these people. They are not contract. They are absolutely regular. They should absolutely be regular salaried workers. So my bill doesn't touch that, but we have separately, as I mentioned, in the legislature, bills to deal with that court case, Dynamex, And I'm very optimistic that we're going to see a piece of legislation that for many people now classified as an independent contractor, that they'll be classified with more employee protections.
I got a question from a listener named Mike who says, let me go first to a question from Scott, which dovetails on the last question. He says, when you say salary of the average worker, are you taking into account that places like Google allegedly have around 10,000 contractors, also known as underpaid temp workers from various temp agencies?
Yes, and yet we really did look primarily at salaries. But as I said, with the court case and the decision on Dynamex, we're going to see some of that those 10,000 independent contractors reclassified.
And Mike writes, federal corporate taxes were cut to the global average to keep corporate operations and jobs here. California already has about the largest tax burden of any state, so I wonder why Ms. Skinner would want to slash local jobs further.
Again, my bill does not target California corporations only. It targets any and every corporation that does business in California. And it is literally only, will only touch 0.2% of corporations that pay taxes in California. So it's a very small percent, but that 0.2% contributes 70% of the total corporate revenue received. Now, let me put this into context. California's general fund is over $130 billion, but the portion of that $130-odd billion that comes from corporate tax revenue is only $9 billion today. $9 billion out of about $137 billion. That's a huge disparity.
Just a point of clarification. The bill is called the Corporate Fair Share for California and Californians. It's only your name on it, or is Bucky Wicks and Rob Bonta's name on it as well?
Both of those, my assembly colleagues in the East Bay, both have their names on it.
Okay, because you said my bill, and I just wondered what...
Certainly, I'm the principal author. It's an SB. It's a Senate bill.
We talked about one of your bills just last week, too, AB 1421, police transparency, and we'll go to more of our callers. Let me go to another caller, and that's Carrie is joining us from San Jose. Carrie, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's a great idea, but I wanted to get a clarifying question in. Does it just touch base compensation? Because CEO compensation is usually a lot more than their base salary. Stock, et cetera?
That's a great question, and I'm glad to be able to clarify that. It does factor the entire compensation package of the CEO, including their stock options. And it basically,
like
SB 37...
I'm sure you're familiar with... I'm sorry, Senator...
Well, it basically says to SB 37, yeah. SB 37 tells big companies, hey, give a little fair share to California, stop overpaying your wealthy CEOs, and if you want to pay less tax... pay your employees better.
Yeah, I want to give a figure here. 1978, the CEO salaries were 30 times the average worker. By 2018, the Economic Policy Institute did a report, and they were 312 times, $19 million compared to $54,600. And let me thank the caller for that and go to more of your calls. Let me go to Auburn next and welcome Christina. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I want to thank the senator for the bill and ask if there is a backfill protection in this bill, in other words, to keep the state from simply, you know, putting money somewhere else and using this money for to replace it.
I thank you for that call. And you want to say anything to her?
I didn't catch the question.
Well, it was more of a comment about the median and the average interchangeable, if whether there was backfill, actually, to keep the state from using.
Yeah.
Yeah, can the state use it for other things other than what's in the general fund?
The bill is written to bring money into the general fund, but we have voter mandates, for example, under Prop 98, that requires us to put 50% of our general fund to our K-12 schools and our community colleges, which is great. So it will primarily, at least 50% of the revenue that, if this bill is successful, will generate, will go to our K-12 schools and community colleges. But the other issue that I think you see many Californians concerned about, and the governor, Newsom concerned about is that we don't adequately fund the early care and education of our 0 to 4-year-olds. And one of my intentions in this bill is that that additional general fund will allow us to do a better job of providing really good care and education for infants to 4-year-olds.
Well, David wants to know about the CSU system and all this. He writes it's been seriously underfunded for decades. Many CSU buildings are crumbling and leaking because they're over 50 years old. CSU educates tens of thousands of students, including students of color and poor students. Will any of the funds from this proposed tax support the CSU system?
Higher ed is a priority for me. I have been an advocate for increasing the portion of California revenue towards our higher ed, both CSU and UC system, for years. And it's ridiculous that, again, if we go back to the 70s, our, as a proportion of our general fund, our funding to our state universities and to our UC system was so much better. And with the limitations we have on general fund, it's what's keeping us from putting in the proper investments. So absolutely, the funding to higher ed, the funding to the K-12 schools, and the funding to our 0 to 4, our infants and babies, is a priority.
I wonder what you say to a listener named Ben who writes, I have no problem taxing the wealthiest corporations. However, blaming the woeful performance of California K-12 schools on money access is quite disingenuous. California spends $11,000 per student per year, which should be more than enough. The mismanagement of funds and milking of taxpayers by administrators is the problem.
There are 40-odd to 45 states in the U.S. that fund their schools per student better than California. How can we say that money is not an issue when we're basically in the same class as Mississippi, Arkansas? And is that where California wants to be? Look at how we pride ourselves. You cannot achieve excellent education if you are starving your classrooms and you cannot attract teachers because you can't pay them a wage that allows them to live in the communities that they teach.
And I'm going to read one tweet before we say goodbye to you, Senator. It's from Chris, who says this is a very modest attempt to reform the inherent greed and hoarding of wealth that workers generate. We need to be taxing the rich, companies and individuals. Thank you, Senator Nancy Skinner. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Nancy Skinner, again, is California State Senator for District 9, which covers parts of Alameda and Contra Costa County, and is the primary author of the Corporate Fair Share for California and Californians Bill. When we return, we're going to talk about...